Thank you, Judy and Millie. When you come back, Judy, I want you to set that thing up front where people can see you. We'll move the piano, too. Because today, I was the only one who had that privilege, and it's wonderful to watch your hands flying over that xylophone, is it?
Marimba.
Ooh. How many? Your father got you started on the marimba, and you're playing one for him today, huh? Many of you may have noticed that we had a couple of police officers join us for breakfast this morning. We invited them to give us some advice about a problem we've been having. We have a visitor who has been here several times who took some money from Grace and Eggs. And last week he was here and we prevented that. And we want to be sure and welcome anyone who comes to our church. However, it's also our job as Christians to confront evil and to make sure that we are good stewards of what God has trusted into our care. So we consulted the police officers about what to do if that happens again. And their advice is that we should call them if we see him. And they will come and take care of the problem. I wanted to point that out because I know that there were a couple of people who came in and they were somewhat anxious because there was a police presence in church. However, they were here at our invitation. There wasn't a problem this morning. And they were very, very helpful, very, very responsive. And it was a busy day today, and they are short-staffed, and they spent an extraordinary amount of time with us. And so if they were still here, I would thank them. Instead, let's say a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for all the emergency workers in our community, for those who care for us invisibly without our thinking about it, who are on call and working around the clock, protecting and serving and preventing evil. We ask your special blessing upon them to keep them safe and healthy and focused. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we were singing one of our hymns this morning, there was a little blurb that you probably couldn't read, but I'm close enough to the screen, and I saw it in the bottom right corner of the screen, and it was a message from one of our software programs that said that it had analyzed everything on the computer and discovered that there were no threats to be found. This month, I've been preaching about suffering and God's part in it, and suffering is all to do often with evil, and it threatens our peace. And I thought it was a wonderful message from God on screen this morning that there are no threats here. But life is full of them. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, I asked the young teens in our church to sit up front and to pay attention and to write down any questions they had. And they turned them in to me after worship. They came up with 47 questions. And I'm going to answer some of those that are related to today's topic. I'm keeping the others. I might use them in other sermons, or I might answer them privately, or I might just have a good laugh at some of them. Today's scripture is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Let's read that again. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So one might then ask, why do bad things happen to good people? If all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Fortunately, that was one of the kids' questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's not the one I'm taking first. Before I answer any of their questions, I need to give you a context for this. Many of the children in our church and in our youth group are being raised in wonderful, loving families and could easily write the letter that Terry wrote to her father. That's true. Many of the children in our church and in our youth group who were here last week and wrote questions are being raised in loving families, but have not always been in loving families. Many of them were born into families that were dysfunctional and even abusive. So I wanted to be sure you knew both of those things before I answer these questions, so you won't draw an erroneous conclusion that all the kids in the church are in dysfunctional families, or that even any of them are currently, because the kids who come to this church are in loving families now, many of them being raised by grandparents or other relatives. But that has not always been their truth. So, this week I was thinking, I'm spending an entire month, well, I'm not, because I'm not next week, but 3 Sundays talking about suffering and God's part in it. Isn't that too much? Haven't I covered all of it already? And then I read the kids' questions. And I realized that some of these questions I've already answered in sermons last week or the week before, but clearly they either weren't in here or didn't get it. So even if I've answered it before, I'm going to answer it again. Why do babies die? Each baby dies for a different reason. Most of them are physical reasons. Sometimes the baby's born too soon and its body isn't developed enough for it to live. Those babies are called premature. And nowadays, babies born earlier and earlier and earlier are surviving. But it isn't always the case. Then again, sometimes a baby is born of a mother who drank too much or used drugs, and that baby doesn't develop enough to live, or it's born drug addicted and they can't get it off the drugs and it dies. That means the baby died because the mother I don't think this is too dramatic a statement, folks, because the mother loved drugs more than she loved the baby. And that's the presence of evil in her life. Once in a while, a baby dies because someone shook it too hard. And that is also the presence of evil in the world. There are also babies that die because they contract diseases. A century ago, that was very commonplace. That's not so common anymore. We think of it as unusual. There are many, many different reasons why babies die. But I think the real question that the teen who asked this question was asking is, why does God let it happen? And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. Here's another question asked by one of our teenagers. Why do parents hurt their children? Not all parents hurt their children. That's an important thing for me to say, because children who have been abused by parents don't know that. They think abuse is normal. They believe deep down that all families are abusive, and if they aren't abusing right now, they will in the future. Often when kids who have been hurt finally accept that not all families do that, then they think they must have done something wrong in order to make parents angry, something to deserve it. But here's the truth, and please listen carefully if you have been hurt when you were a child. No child deserves that. No child deserves that. No child deserves to be beaten. No child deserves to be starved. No child deserves to be neglected. No child deserves to be abused. There is evil in the world, and one form that evil takes is child abuse and neglect. Often parents who are neglectful and abusive were abused themselves, but that's not an excuse for them to do it to others. It is what they've learned. And not all parents who are abusers were abused as children. Another important thing to know is that if you were abused as a child, you don't have to become an abuser. I know that personally. But here's another truth. Not all parents who spank their children are abusive. Some know just how far to go without really hurting the child. But any time a parent physically strikes a child while angry, that has the potential to be abusive. It's always better for parents to let their tempers cool down before they punish their children. Can I hear an amen? Here's another question. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? God does allow bad things to happen. Not just to good people, but to bad people too. God allows bad because God allows choice. We have what is called free will. God allows us to make choices in our lives, even bad choices. Even the choice to follow evil instead of God. Every time we do that, more evil is the result. Bad things often happen to good people because there's evil in the world that God allows because God wants us to choose good on our own, not because we're puppets who have no choices in life. It grieves the heart of God when we choose evil. It pleases God when we choose good. Here's a question that made me cry, even though it wasn't unexpected. Why do I feel more loved by other people than by my mother? Whew. Take a deep breath. That's a tough one. Here's my answer. Because the people who love you have made the choice to be good and do good, and your mother hasn't. Sometimes a person is so absorbed in herself that she cannot love anyone else. Addictions of all kinds lead a person to be so self-absorbed that he or she doesn't think about anything but the next fix, or the next drink, or the next high, or the next bet. Someone who can't think about anything else is possessed by a kind of evil that prevents caring about other people. It's one of the most pain-filled parts of addiction and one of the greatest evils in the world. Some people are so addicted to a political cause that they kill other people. Understanding addiction helps us to understand and depersonalize their behavior, but it doesn't excuse that behavior. Hear me clearly. I believe it's very important to understand behavior that creates evil in the world, but it doesn't excuse it. Addiction begins with the first bad choice, and addicts and other people who do wrong must take responsibility for their behavior, no matter what happened in their childhood. Here's another question. Why are there trees? Okay, so this question was asked by someone who might have been taking this task as seriously as the others, but it does lead us to a big, big answer in the question of evil. Think about it. When God created the world and everything in it, God created each part of it dependent on the others. God made humans dependent on plants to eat and water to drink. God made each part of an animal and the insect kingdom dependent on nutrition and hydration. We're also dependent to some extent on light and chemistry and gravity. We understand some of the ways in which each part of the planet Earth is dependent on others. But with all of our knowledge, we do not understand it all. And maybe never will. God is so much greater than we are that probably we can never understand how God created everything and how it's interrelated. And the problem of bad things happening to good people is interrelated with understanding how things work. Why do bad things happen is a why question. Why questions are often theological, often related to what we believe about God or what we're exploring about God. But many of those questions and events can be explained away by the presence of evil in the world, just like I did with those questions that I answered today. But some bad things happen randomly because of natural events. Events like hurricanes and fires that have nothing to do with people making bad choices. They just happen. And those things are related to the question, why are there trees? We can come up with lots of reasons trees are good. They are homes for squirrels and birds. They provide shade and windbreaks. They keep soil intact on hillsides and prevent erosion. There are lots of specialists in the world who could tell us which trees are necessary for which kinds of insects and woodpeckers. Some trees bear fruit that's good to eat, and some nuts. But we could go on and on for hours and not name all the trees and all their relationships to other created things. We might not name all the reasons that God created trees, nor can we understand all the reasons hurricanes exist, or tornadoes, or black holes, or earthquakes. We don't understand even our own planet, much less the incredibly vast universe God created. So we can never really understand why those sorts of bad things happen to good people. And the question's even more complicated because we really can't understand why an act of nature destroys some houses and not others in what we think of as illogical ways. If I were in charge, those kinds of things would happen to bad people, not good people. Can I hear an amen? But who gets to decide who's good and who's bad? Do you want that job? I don't think anybody wants to say amen to that. Last week I pointed out that we all have both good and bad in us, so how would we determine who is bad enough to be punished by having their home destroyed in a flood and who isn't? So perhaps a different and better question is, can any good come of this? You've been in all kinds of situations in life, all kinds of turmoil and trouble, where you might have asked, can any good come of this? And the answer is yes, because of that scripture that I read in the book of Romans, chapter 8. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. That includes bad things. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Because when we are open to God's presence in our lives, God can reach inside and put a right spirit within us no matter what's going on in our lives. God can reach deep inside and give us the strength and the courage, the fortitude. That's an old-fashioned but wonderful word. The fortitude and the stamina to carry on in the midst of difficulty. And that especially is a message I want to give our teenagers and our kids, that no matter what happens in life, God can strengthen you for it. God can pull you through it. God can give you what it takes to not just survive, but transcend any evil in the world. Can I hear an amen to that? Thanks be to God.